Okay, so now it's Hanukkah. We've been learning about Hanukkah, and Hanukkah's here. It's the third night of Hanukkah. And so I want to discuss now a few assorted dinim that has to do with Hanukkah. Mostly with the mitzvah hadlaka too, but maybe beyond that. Let's see what we get to. So first I want to address what's the role of women in the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neros, and maybe even broader, in Hanukkah in general. we're taught in the Gemara that women are obligated in the mitzvah. They also had a chelik in the neis. Now that's really can be answered in two ways. One way that the chelik, that women were already also part of the Hatzalah, that was the gzeris against Klal Yisrael not to keep mitzvahs involved women too, gzeres against Shabbos and gzeres against Rosh Chodesh, things that certainly apply to women as well, and they were spared as were the men, and even the avodah in the Beis Hamikdash, women don't do the avodah, they're not involved in the hakravas karbanos personally, but they are certainly beneficiaries of the karbanos just as well as the men are. So in that sense, they were have a chelik in the nes. Plus, we know the different accounts of women who had an active role in overcoming some of the Sonei Yisrael, not necessarily mamish during the Chanukah Tkufa, but things that are in incidents that are commemorated on Chanukah, like the Maisa with Yehudis, that she killed one of the she was able to kill the great Roman general, a Greek general, and the fact that it didn't necessarily happen on Chanukah, or obviously not on Chanukah, but even in the period immediately leading up to Chanukah, but it's it was related to this the same type of a victory over enemies who were trying to suppress Yiddishkeit or obliterate Yiddishkeit and get the Jews to become secularized. So in that sense, women also, that's why you say women had a chelik in actually in the victory of Klal Yisrael against those who wanted to obliterate Torah observance. Okay, so women are chayiv in the mitzvah, no question about it. And if a woman lives by herself, she's definitely obligated to light a Chanukah menorah with the bracha, with the same brachas that a man makes. She has no less of an achrayus to do the mitzvah. And all the halachas apply to men, apply to women. In fact, I saw tonight a tshuva in the Yisa Yosef in the third chelik of Aruch Chaim. Yisa Yosef, well, it's Rav Yosef Afrati. However, Rav Yosef Afrati was one of the people who was very close to Rav Eliashiv, that's all. And all the tshuvas, he has seven volumes of tshuvas, but all the tshuvas, he writes a tshuva and then he brings Rav Eliashiv's Shita. And in fact, many of the tshuvas are, or I think most of them are, built around Rav Eliashiv Psak, explaining it and etc. But the tshuva is not just a sefer that says, oh, Rav Eliashiv held this or he held that. It's a sefer that addresses Yonim, and the tshuvas are usually not very long. But in any case, so this is a tshuva, I believe it says the third chelik of Aruch Chaim, and it's a Simen Kuf Pehei. And he was asked by a woman who lives by herself in Eretz Yisrael, and she's embarrassed to go out in Eretz Yisrael. They light outside, typically. And this woman is embarrassed. She's embarrassed to go outside in the street and light by the Pesach, by the Pesach Abayis at the time of Lukkah, when but typically it's men lighting. In most cases, it's men lighting. So she's embarrassed to go outside. So there was the question, what are her options? So Rabbi Afrati says like this, and we'll use this to explain broader the whole thing. It women are chayiv in the mitzvah, there's no question about it. But in the typical household where there's a married couple, so the husband lights and the wife is yotzei. She doesn't light by herself. Even in Ashkenazi households where we say, you know, ner l'chalecha ve'echad, the version of how we mekayim mehadrin and mehadrin is that everybody, each one of the members of the household light, besides that we increase for each night another ner, but not typically married women, and in fact in many households not even single girls. So why is that? If it's ner l'chalecha ve'echad and girl, if a man has two boys and two girls, two sons and two daughters all living at home. So if his two sons light, because ner l'chalecha ve'echad, why don't his two daughters light? Why this difference? So one of the main answers given is that Chassam Sofer says in Chedushim on Masechta Shabbos in the sugya, I think Chof Aleph on Beis, in the sugya of Chanukah, that since the original mitzvah was to light outside, and it's not derech tznius for a woman to go outside and do something which she's designed to attract attention. Right? We're lighting davka outside to attract that people should see it and notice the neros. So for a woman to go outside and do that, it says kol kvud bas melech plima. A woman's role is inside. So therefore, if women who live in a household with other people, the minhag became that they yotzei with other people. They don't do it. And even though now, at least in Chutz La'aretz, we light indoors, but the minhag remained that way, that the women didn't establish a practice of lighting on their own. Rather, they yotzei with the balabais, their father, their husband, whatever it is. That became the minhag. But the Chassam Sofer says the reason is because originally it was almost inappropriate for a woman to go out. But Chassam Sofer says, but that's only for a woman who lives in a family with a man who could light. A woman who lights herself, she has no choice. She has to light. She can at least light. So Rabbi Yasha said, there's no shaila that this woman has to be mekayem, has to light. And Rabbi Yasha was held very strongly that even bizmaneinu in Eretz Yisrael, one must light outside, even though again there was a tkufa when everybody lived inside. But now in Eretz Yisrael, Hashem, although it's not all roses, as we know, but it's not a sakana for a yid to perform mitzvahs publicly outside. And he Rabbi Yasha felt very stark that a woman slide outside. So he tells this woman she needs to either slide outside, or if she's, you know, just too embarrassed, better she should be b'mana shaliach to light for her rather than light inside. Even rather than light inside by a window where people can still see it. No, he held the chiyuv bizmaneinu in Eretz Yisrael is to light outside. There are even those who want to, you know, suggest even in America, why don't we light outside? Now it's not the same shas sakana, Baruch Hashem, that it was, you know, at once. And some what the Gemara was talking about, when the Gemara talks about sakana, it was much different than now. But that being said, many many poskim say it's not the thing to do. In fact, Rav Shmuel Kamensky is safer. He says anybody who says that we should light outside in America doesn't really grasp the reality of our matzav in America, meaning, you know, okay, it's different, and Baruch Hashem, and we. Well, and
how does that difference it from having a mezuzah on the door? Like, it's also a sign, and everyone that walks see it.
Right. Okay. But there's a difference. That's first of all, that's a chiyuv. Unless it really be a sakana like pikuach nefesh, we don't find the Gemara saying b'shas a sakana, don't put your mezuzah on your door. It doesn't say that. It says just Chanukah, put inside. If it would takabi pikuach nefesh, of course we wouldn't do it. Or even more than that, the Shach has a tshuva. It's not a tshuva. The Shach writes in Shulchan Aruch. Let's say a person is in a place where he knows putting the mezuzah on the door, Goyim are going to take it off. It's happened already. Whatever, when he puts the mezuzah, and of course, you know, over a couple of days later, it's gone. He says then he takes should not put a mezuzah because the mezuzah is commonly day bizayin. No sakana. Nobody ever, you know, attacked him for it. But if the Goyim are taking it down and they're not taking it down to put it into a shemus box. They're taking it down and who knows what. So he says you're not supposed to do it. Yeah, this is just, if you don't mind, just digress for a second. when famous Rav Moshe's famous tshuva is in the first chelik of Aruch Chaim, the first tshuva on this topic, I believe, is to Rav Yitzchak Kuttner, the Rashiva of Chaim Berlin, the first Rashiva of Chaim Berlin, where about a person who has some sort of extremely contagious disease, and you know a serious disease, and he needs to be hospitalized in a place and basically in quarantine, and in a place where when he's cured and healed and ready to be released, he can't take anything with him. Anything he brought in with him, his clothing and all any possessions he bring in, they burn, because it's a very contagious disease. They don't want anything. So the shaila was, what does he do about tefillin? If he brings in tefillin with him, they'll let him bring in tefillin, but they won't let him take him out. It's a one-way street. So Rav Moshe paskins that he's not allowed to take tefillin with him. He's potter from tefillin. Just like the shach, basically, I don't know if it's the only right, but from what I recall, he bases it on the shach, at least partially, that the shach, the mitzvah of the mezuzah is also a chi. If you live in a house, you have a chi to have a mezuzah. But the shach says, but not if the mezuzah is going to come on the day b'zayon. And here he says vaday, it's vaday. You bring in tefillin. They say so you could bring in the tefillin, sir, but you can't take him out. They're going to be burnt. So Rav Moshe says he's potter. Now there's another some tshuvas back. He got some pushback on it. And if I'm not mistaken, I think as I'm talking, I think Rabbi Yashiv himself in the Sefer Aris says differently. If I'm mistaken, man. So a topic unto itself. In any case, but moving back, but lemaisa mezuzah, there's no ptur for just stam, you know. Whatever you want to call it, sakana. There's the mitzvah. There's all no other way to do the mitzvah. Chazal never changed it. And lemaisa, mezuzah doesn't really attract the same attention. Chanukah neiros are when you light outside, the mamish, you know, attracting attention. You're doing it practically in the street or by the door, and it's meant to attract attention. It's I think it's megara the bad feelings and the kin and the eva more than. And, you know, having a small mezuzah. And mice also mezuzah, if you really had to, you could carve it into the door. But in Israel, that's what they do, actually. They carve it into the doorpost. Right? Carve it and put the mezuzah in, and then put a little glass in, from a glass of plastic, but it's not even protruding. It's not even on the island. You must have seen this in Israel.
In Venezuela, they also do it, so people don't steal it.
Yeah, you saw places where they do it even here?
In Venezuela.
Oh, Venezuela.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so it can be done. Okay, in any case, we're talking about the chutzlars. The ma'aser most people saying in chutzlars we don't light outside. We light inside. But in Eretz Yisrael, we actually held stark that you have to light outside by the Pesach, and therefore he says that better to mimana shliach. This woman mimana shliach. If she just feels she refuses, or she's, you know, just feels she can't do it, so she's too embarrassed. So have a shliach light for her, but rather than lighting inside, even by the window. Okay. So we're definitely chayiv in the mitzvah, and the chayiv. And to this, really to the same extent, men are, as I said, the only difference we do, we allow a woman who lives at home to be yotzei with her husband or with her father. Now, there are some households where the girls do light.
What's the shliach light? Does that mean difference?
I'm sorry, again?
If she's, what Rose said before, the shliach, a woman appointing a shliach.
To light?
Where would the shliach light it? It's his menorah, you know?
No, by her doorway. By her doorway. She doesn't have to go outside. She's embarrassed that she's he'll you know, hire a man. Or she could, maybe she get a woman who's not embarrassed, but, or else get a man to be her shliach.
She can grab any person in the street and ask him to light for
her. If it's a Jew who's who's 13 years old, and you know, 12, chayiv mitzvahs, and yeah. But and they light usually with, you know, with her. Her shaman and everything, and in her, but and her location, her house, or her,
yeah. Her menorah,
right? And best, that, you know, that she should at least stand in the background by and hear the brachas. You know, if she doesn't want to stand outside, so stand, you know, in a place that way, you know, inside where she can hear the brachas. Okay, so now there are some households where girls do light. I was going to say many households they light till they're bas mitzvah they light, but usually we, you know, what we would like, as my daughter lit till bas mitzvah, and after bas mitzvah she stopped and. She stopped lighting. That's what many do. But I found in many places they the girls do light, and there are even some places where married women light. Or some I saw brought down Rabbi Isser Zalman Meltzer, who was a receiver from Europe. He was the father-in-law of Baron Kotler. He was another Gadol in his own rights, who eventually moved to Eretz Yisrael. He was one of the great Rosh Yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. His Rebbetzin used to light. I think it said he would light out in Eretz Yisrael. He would light outside, and she would light inside. So there are some places, I think I saw it written down on some Baruch Moshe, that usually his wife didn't light typically, but if he, for some reason, I think if he was delayed or something, if he wasn't be able to light up his man, I think that she would light and that he would light later or something. Okay, anyway, so where would the chayv? But a woman who's not lighting herself, because like we just said, her husband is that, so the question comes up about whether she could eat before hadlak or not. Now, a person who's lighting is not supposed to eat before the hadlak. We were just discussing this a few minutes ago before we started. A person who's lighting is not supposed to eat. Now, it's interesting. I saw one of the Sfarim, the Sukkos Chaim, Ludinsky points out that an interesting thing, that it's not brought in Shulchan Aruch itself, this halacha. It's brought by Bedikas Chametz, that you can't, shouldn't eat before Bedikas Chametz. It's brought by Kriyas HaMegillah on Purim. And we know the discussion about it by davening, by mincha, is a big discussion, and then by Kriya Shema, Shel Arvis. But it doesn't say in Mechaber, Ramah, and Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't say it by Chanukah. But many Achronim do say it, many, and the Mishnah Berurah brings it down, that a person is not supposed to eat
Kvida Suda or eat anything?
Well, mostly it's a Kvida Suda. Te'ima is okay. You know, if it's not a Suda, if it's not washing, Te'ima is okay. What the Ketima is, you know, without washing. But and not only once it's the Zman, but even within half hour before the Zman. A half hour before is now half hour, oh, by this also impacts what you were asking me before, Yaakov. Half hour, I saw from Chaim Kanevsky, that it doesn't mean 30 minutes even. It could be, it's half of like Shazmanios. If you figure, you divide the day into 12 parts between, let's go the easier way, between sunrise and sunsets. Sunrise, in Miami, it doesn't come out much different, though. Sunrise these days is about...
Seven.
Close to seven, yeah. Yeah, about seven, yeah. No, so it does come out, yeah. And sunset is just after 5:30. Okay, so instead of the day being 12 hours, it's 10 and a half hours. So you take 10 and a half into 12 equal parts, and it's a half of one of those parts. Right? So it does come out a little, you know, it's a little less, definitely less than 30 minutes. That's sort of times a half hour based on Shazmanis that you shouldn't eat before. Now, really, the question is, though, like this. We know there are a lot of different times to light, right? That was the first, I think we discussed that one of the first Shirim and Chanukah. Should you light by Shkia, or X number of minutes after Shkia, or at Seis HaKochavim? You know, we light Seis HaKochavim, some light earlier. So the question is, if you light, let's say you light by Seis HaKochavim, so, and let's say, even for argument's sake, it's 40 minutes after Shkia, let's say, in Miami. So does that mean you could eat up to 20 minutes after Shkia? Because that's, I mean, or if there were 30, whatever, 10 minutes, like 10 minutes after Shkia, or 10, 15 minutes after Shkia. So you're leaving a half an hour, at least my son is, close to 30 minutes of before that you're stopping. Or no, does it mean that since some light by Shkia, maybe that's the earliest time you could theoretically light, so maybe a half hour before that? So I saw a number of posts say in the Kibbutz Halachas and elsewhere that now, if you light by Tzeis HaKochavim, then you could eat up to a half an hour before Tzeis HaKochavim, because you're working with that is the Zman. So if that's the Zman, then I don't have to stop a half hour before anything else, just a half hour before that. But if you light, let's say, one of the other sheets is 10 minutes after Shkia, or Lefi Rabban Kotler, 23 minutes after Shkia, where do those come from? Those really are basing on themselves on the fact that the Zman is Shkia. But they don't want to light mamish at sunset because they're afraid maybe Shkia is not, Shkia, right? Maybe that's really, you know, if you light mamish at sunset, maybe it's really not Shkia. So give yourself a buffer, a 10-minute buffer. Or like Rav Aaron, the Zman is Shkia, but since there are those who hold the Tzeis, we don't want to light so early so that it's within a half, it's more than a half hour before Tzeis. We want to light sort of in the middle so we're within the first, with half hour of the Shkia, and yet within a half an hour of Tzeis. So it's sort of trying to chop all the shittas. But that's based on a premise, or at least partially based on the premise that Shkia is the Zman. Shkia would not be the Zman, they wouldn't be lighting 23 minutes after Shkia. So then he says, Lefi that, Shmuel says, then you should have to stop, if you do that, you should have to stop a half hour before Shkia. Not a half hour before you light. Because you really hold the Zman of Shkia. You just don't want to, you're afraid to light Mamash at Shkia, or you want to try to chop another sheet or two, so you're delaying it. But the Zman is Shkia, or at least that's a good chance that you hold. You're relying on the fact that the Zman is Shkia. So he says you have to stop a half hour before Shkia. Okay, but for us, I mean, at least you know we would, I say us. I mean, we're talking about before about lighting for about approximately 40 minutes after Shkia. So you can eat. You don't have to stop. Certainly not a half hour before Shkia, and not even and not even till a good 10 minutes or a plus 10 plus minutes after Shkia, you could still be eating. Now, to eat later than that, so it would have to be with a shomer, either a human shomer who's not eating, because if they're also eating, they can't be a shomer, or an alarm. You can set an alarm that's going to ring at the zman, or 5 minutes before, whenever it's going to ring, when you'll get up and go light, or something like that, some sort of a shomer like that. Now you're also not supposed to be osing in other things, in other activities, including even learning. It says you're not supposed to learn, well, certainly when the zman arrives, you're supposed to go right away to the mitzvah, but even a half hour before, you're not supposed to learn. However, on that, the Chavetz Chaim says that even if you're lighting at Shkia, you don't have to stop. You don't have to stop a half hour before. You don't have to stop learning a half hour before Shkia. That's what Chavetz Chaim says. So, you know, it sounds like if you hold by Tzeis, or a half hour before Tzeis, if you're not lighting till Tzeis, so a half hour before Tzeis, you should refrain from learning even. But unless you appoint the shomer, but you don't have to stop a half hour before Shkia. An interesting thing though is Rechaim Kanevsky held, and it sounds like Vincent Karelis and maybe some of those, that if you're learning Hilchas Chanukah, it's okay. I saw right down Rechaim himself that sometimes he would do that. He would learn Hilchas Chanukah during the half hour before this man and up to this man Hadlaka, because it's based on a Gemara by. By Bidikas Chametz, that a person who's involved, I don't remember the exact source now, but the idea is if you're involved in Yom Chanukah, so we're not afraid you're going to forget about Mrs. Chanukah. That's exactly, it's on my mind. I'm learning all about Chanukah now, so it's not going to keep me from the Mitzvah. So now getting back though. But what about a woman? She's not lighting herself. Her husband's lighting. So does she have the same restriction? Is she restricted from eating? Or should we say no? Why can't she eat? She has the mitzvah, but it's not in her hands. It's up to her husband to do the mitzvah. She's not required to or expected to remind him. It's ki'ilu she made him a shaliach, and he has the responsibility, not her. So perhaps there's no hesitation and no reason for her to eat, no reason for her not to eat. So I think I mentioned this last year, but let's go again. There's a Nachas Tzvi. The Nachas Tzvi was the author of the Pesach Tshuva and Shulchan Aruch, Nachas Tzvi, you know, they're both Chashuv Chiburim. The Nachas Tzvi in Yeridaya is talking about the idea if a person has a recent experience with it. It has a child to do a bris milah on. And so he says, so for the if the person himself is doing the milah, then he certainly shouldn't eat in the morning before he does the milah. It's his man, you know, once it's his man to do the milah, or maybe even half hour before, he shouldn't be eating. But let's say he's not doing the milah himself. He appoints them all. He appointed a shliach to do the milah. He's having him all do the milah for him. So that's his shaila. Is it still usher for him to eat? Now, you know, if you do the bris right in the morning after davening anyway, so he can't eat before davening, that's going to technicality. But let's say whatever reason the bris is being done later, even in the morning still, so it's still his reason, like even the mitzvah, but the bris is called for 11 o'clock. For whatever reason, the mohel is very busy, has six other milahs to do that morning. You're number seven. And it's no joke, you know, it's a show. And then, I mean, okay, I don't know. I just remember there was a big Chashuv Mo'el Rabbi Weiss board when I was in Herzl. I think his son is a Mo'el now, I think so. I don't know. I haven't been in Herzl much lately, unfortunately. But Weiss was a very renowned and popular Mo'el in Yerushalayim, somewhere in Yerushalayim. I think he had said I think the most he had done, he had done 16 meals in one day. Wow. Okay, he didn't do 16 every day, but he did. Wow. He did one plenty. Wow. Yeah, he did plenty. In fact, there's somebody, it's no denying the person, but very chashuv person here in town who was living in Israel at one time, and he had a son to the bris. It was a Shabbos bris, and so he asked him. So he worked over. Asked him, okay, what time will davening be over, and what you know, meal? And he gave him a time. And that morning there was I think somebody had yartzeit or something, but it was a chazan who schlepped out the davening, and things got the davening got you know punk that morning got very delayed, and Rabbi Weisberg came to the meila and they weren't ready, and then it was pretty delayed, and he was a little bit unhappy about it. I think he told the Avi Ben, like, next time, you know, maybe you have a Shabbos bris, maybe you should find somebody else, because it throws him off. You know, he makes a schedule with and it's even Shabbos, he can't like call ahead and
yeah,
you know,
and
the same thing, they couldn't call him either and tell him okay, in any case, so let's say the meal is at 11 o'clock for any reason, and so that's the shaila. Could you eat before you have a shliach to do that? You want to sit down and have a bagel? So the Nachas Tzvi says that there's no problem then. He could do mila beforehand. Okay, so based on that, some of the posts come again. The Chavetz Lachos talks about this, and others do want to say that the same thing should be true here. That if a person is mamana shliach, or a woman who is like an automatic meaning shliach, she's mamana her husband. To light for her, so they should be able to eat, even when it's the zman halakha mamish. If the husband like yet, certainly during the half hour before the zman. Lemaisa, the a lot of the svarim who you know the likutim svarim or I shouldn't call them likutim. A lot of the contemporary svarim, not necessarily likutim there, but a lot of the contemporary svarim on Hilchas Chanukah talk about a quote a tshuva from the Betzel HaChachma. So Chachmas Rav Betzalel Stern, who he writes that even with his cheshbon, the minig is not to. He writes like the minig is not to. But I saw the men bring it down and they say, you know, they're like uncertain about whether is the minig really not to. So they say certainly if there's any hechrech, there's a tzorech, there's a you know a reason why she has to want to eat, then she could. The shaila, but then the shaila the nechles sweet class the other way that he's uncertain about. What about the moel? The moel who took upon himself to light, and not to light, he wanted to do the mila. Or in this case, the shliach who took upon himself to light, could he eat? It's not his mitzvah, but he took the achrayis to do the mitzvah. So one of the Tzel Chachma, again, he brings two cases that he compares it to, which the comparison that was somewhat questionable, he compares it to a Baal Tokea, a person who was already a Rosh Hashanah, he already heard. Either he blew shofar and shul, or he heard shofar and shul, but he's lighting. He's blowing shofar for a group of people later, and so he said the minute there is not to wait that he doesn't eat. He'll eat before. Or the other case he gives by what was the other case. One second, he gave another similar case. Oh yeah, it was laning on Purim. Guy who's already yotzei the Megillah, but he's going to be laning for you know there's a set zman. He's going to be laning the Megillah again to be mostly people who didn't hear earlier. So he says about that they don't go without eating. You know, some people lane numerous times during or imagine this moel with 16 milas a day. I'm saying no until number 16 is over, you can't eat. You'll be pretty hungry by the end of the day. But those two rayas from Megillah. And Tkiyah Shofar, those are the difficult riots, because in both those cases, it's not his, he didn't undertake to do the mitzvah for the person. He's just going to be assisting the person, like the Baal Tokea. You can't blow shofar, you can't be Yotzei shofar for someone else. You could blow the shofar, but the other person's got to hear it, right? The mitzvah is to hear a kol shofar. I'm going to facilitate it for you by blowing shofar. Or the mitzvah, you have to hear the mitzvah, you have to lane the Megillah, or hear the Megillah. You have to, so I'll lane it for you. I'll do the laning, but you got to do the listening. So it's not. I'm not undertaking them by Ner Chanukah. I'm taking over the mitzvah. You don't even have to be there. It's good to be there to hear the brachas, otherwise it's complicated if you should make the brachas, but you don't have to be there. You definitely can have a shliach light for you when you're not there. So the other shliach took over the entire achrayis of the mitzvah, whereas that, you know, a certain mitzvahs, you can do that. By Kriyas HaMegillah, you can't do it. Nobody can listen to Megillah for me, or Lame Megillah. Nobody can listen to Shofar for me. They can just blow the Shofar and I'm listening. So I don't know if those two riots, the fact that they're eating is such a riot. So that's in any case, the Nach Lesvi leaves it as a shtickel safik. And so do others. Whether the person who took it upon himself to do it, could he before him? Okay, so let's just move before the end and before this last shir, probably on Hilchos Chanukah for now, because next week is already on Chanukah. So let's just look at a little bit about the mitzvah of Hallel on Chanukah. We know that we say v'kavu shmonis yimei Chanukah elu lahodos ulahallel l'shimcha hagadol. One of the ikar aspects of Chanukah is giving halal voda, praising Hashem. And a person is really supposed to do that when you light Chanukah menorahs and you make the bracha, she'asinisim, it's really a bracha that should have a lot of kavana to it. Every bracha should have kavana, but that particularly should really think about it, she'asinisim avoseinu, and you should have be mechavan to, you know, to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for doing the nisim for us. And not just, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman points this out, not just the nes of the shemen, of finding the pach shemen, you know, the one flask of oil, and being able, and that it lasted 8 days. But the nes of the mechama, this mechama was a phenomenal nes. In fact, in Al Hanisim, we practically don't talk about the nes. We don't talk about the nes of Shemen, right? It just says, "Acha came bo v'finus ratir v'eligum neiros b'chazus kachechet." Right? It says, and the nesach is a little bit different, but very similar. I listened carefully one day to the Bal Tefila in Safra, and he said over, it's very similar. There's some differences, but it's quite similar. But we don't mention that anything about finding one a flask of oil and lasting 8 days. Not mentioned there at all. We just say chiligoneres bechasus kashecha. They talk about the mechamas, right? Al nisim of al mechamas, al gruas, al shuas, al mechamas, and the rabbin biad naatim etzvei biad torah shem biad tzedikim. That's the whole al nisim. So the nace of the menorah seems to be commemorating, I mean, the mitzvah of the Hadlakah menorah seems to be commemorating the nace of the Pach Shemen more, but when you say Sha'as and Nisim Avaseinu, you're supposed to think and reflect on the Nisim of the Melchama, which is a phenomenal nace. How, when we say Rabbi Biad Na'atim, like it's, that's like such almost like an understatement, and we're talking about a handful of people that overcame a powerful, powerful army. And it's like completely beyond Derech HaTeva, like not even close to anything that's unexplainable through natural means. But so you're supposed to give Hodah to Hashem, and one of the ways by saying Hallel. So mitzvah on Chanukah, as we well know, to say the entire Hallel. We don't say the entire Hallel Rosh Chodesh. In fact, the whole saying Hallel Rosh Chodesh is a minug. On Chanukah, it's not a minig, it's a mitzvah. Mitzvah Rabbanan. Okay, I'm not saying it's a Raisa. It's always a mitzvah Rabbanan. It's a mitzvah Rabbanan, but it's an absolute mitzvah. And it's the entire Hallel. And if a person doesn't say the entire Hallel, they have to go back and say it. And even it's even shalom about making a bracha again. Like if they said what they call Chatzi Hallel, half Hallel, and then they walked away and finished, and then only realized later, and so a while later, then many say they have to start over again with the bracha. If they realize, right, it sounds like if you realize on the spot, you could, even then, I think you have to go back and say it, but you don't have to take the bracha again. But if you realize later, you say the whole thing over again.
In that case, it's for Ezbera Ha'iz Levatala.
Was the first bracha Levatala?
Yeah, retroactively.
Very possibly so. You know, it's important, so I mentioned in general, it's an important thing. Whenever you say Hallel, especially when you say the entire Hallel, like on most of the Yom Tovim, Sukkot, Shavuos, and the first 2 days of Pesach, you have to be careful to say every word. It's not just, I think maybe we look at Hallel like less than Kriya Shema. So, no, okay, Kriya Shema is the Raisa, it's not the Raisa. But it's a mitzvah to say every single word of Hallel, and to the best of our ability to pronounce them properly, similar to Mikra Megillah. Everybody knows by the Megillah, you have to hear every single word and you have to get it straight. By Hallel too, you're supposed to get every word straight. And I'll just point out one thing that sometimes people don't realize. When we say, Milifnei Adon Chuli Aretz, Milifnei, it says the second paragraph, and then it's Aleph Lamed Vav He, Hashem's name. But it's supposed to be pronounced Elo with the ah, you know, not, you don't pronounce it ha, elo and then ha, but ah. The patach is a patach under the last letter. When you have a patach under a ches or a hey at the end of a word, you don't say, it's like the word, the name Noach. His name is not, there's a patach under the ches, not Nocha, right? We don't, you pronounce the patach first. If in the middle of the word you don't, but at the end of the word you do. So whenever you have a hey or a ches at the end of the word, it's ach or ah. So here too is elo and then ah. And it's important, I've heard people who are unaware of this, do it wrong. It's a distortion. Okay, anyway, Shiles, what about women? We said before, women are part of the nais, and even a major part of the nais. So what about women laning, saying halal on Hanukkah? Now, it's a mitzvah seishas man grama. Well, but so is halakas neiros in the chayiv. So it doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch that they're chayiv. Doesn't say in Shulchan Aruch. Doesn't say in the Rama that they're chayiv to lay to say halal on Hanukkah. So on the moedim, by the way, they're not right. Only at the seder, a woman says a part of the Haggadah, but they're not chayiv to say halal on. The Shalosh Regalim, it's a mitzvah, they could do it, and if she's an Ashkenazi woman, could do it with a bracha, but they're not chayiv in it. So so many of the posts can point out from the Rambam, before we do, let's start with those who want to say that they should. There's a the Minchas Pitim, it was Rav Meir Arik, who was in the Gedolim from pre-war Europe, says that they should say halal on Hanukkah. The Hisaris Tshuva, Rav Shimon Sofer, and others say that I think the Taurus Rafal, these are the surrounding brought down. I don't know if I looked them up, any of them, certainly not now. But Taurus Rafal was, Rav Rafal Shapiro. He was a son-in-law of the Nitziv from Velazhen, the Velazhen Rosh Hashiva. He was son of the Nitziv twice, meaning he married one of the Nitziv's daughters, and after she she was Neftara, she passed away in his lifetime, and he married then a second daughter, which is, right, you're allowed to do that. A man's not allowed to marry two sisters if the first one he marries is still alive. He can't marry the second one, even if they're divorced from them. But if his first wife is no longer living, he's allowed to marry his wife's sister. And this is it's been done more than once. I would say by more than one person of note. Just mention one more in our time, the Novominsky Rebbe, Novominsky Rav, who was after COVID time about 5 years ago. He was married to an Eichenstein from Chicago, the Zinshav Rav from Chicago, Rav Eichenstein, not really cousin of the Nachi Eichenstein here. He was married to one of his sisters, and then when she passed away, he married a second sister. Anyway, so getting back here, Rafal Shapiro was, and Rafal Shapiro. One of his sons-in-law was Reb Chaim Brisker. Anyway, Reb Chaim also says the women should say halal on Chanukah. However, others point out that the Rambam doesn't sound like this. The Rambam's mashmah that they're not chayiv and halal. It's not mentioned in Shulchan Aruch. For many lechronim, it seems not that Mishnah Berura does not seem that there's any chayiv of a woman to say halal on Chanukah. As well as many other echronim, Lamaisa, there's a tshuva from Balyashiv that he paskins that Lamaisa that they're pater. As well as Rav Shlomo Zalman, they both paskin, it seems they both paskin that they're pater. But it's certainly a good thing to do, let's put it that way. It's certainly a good thing to do. First of all, to be choshish for the opinions that they're actually chayiv. And even if they're not chayiv, definitely a mitzvah. Like I said, if an Ashkenazic woman can make a bracha, a Sfaradisha woman, she has to ask her Sfaradisha chacham or Rav or husband if he's learning. But an Ashkenazic woman, yeah, she can make a bracha, and it's a very good thing to do to say halal, because whether the chayiv or not, it's certainly the ruach hayom alahodos lahal. One thing we shouldn't have to know from, but it's a shayla about what about in a beis ovil. Someone sitting Shiva is knowing on Chanukah different than Purim. Purim, at least Lefid Unzrim and Purim, a person doesn't sit Shiva. It doesn't end the Shiva like Yom Tov. It's like Shabbos that it doesn't end the Shiva, but they don't actively sit Shiva on Purim or even Shushan Purim. Just like they wouldn't on a Shabbos. But on Chanukah, if a person is has to sit, is in Shiva, he does sit Shiva on Chanukah. And so what happens about saying halal in his house, and what about Ovel himself saying halal? So Yeah, on Rosh Chodesh, it says that they shouldn't say halal in the house of an avel. Rosh Chodesh halal is just a minhag. On Chanukah, it's a question, but it's more of a question. What I think that typically what's done is that they do say halal. The avel will step out and go to different many places. They end up doing that on Rosh Chodesh also. That the minion says halal, the avel steps out of the room. But in Chanukah, okay, he steps out of the room. The question is, should he be saying halal? You know, even if he's not saying it with the tzibur, but should he be saying it at all? So there are different opinions about this, whether he should say it or not. And, you know, like I said, hopefully no one has to encounter the shaila. But at the end of the day, I think many say he should say it, but without the bracha. Since it's a shaila, it's a suffix, so he should say it without the bracha, and, you know, by himself. That's the bottom line according to many of the poskim. Okay, so I think we touched on a number of over the past couple of weeks, some of the main hadlaka shailas, and so just a drop broader, and enjoy the rest of it. More than half of Chanukah is still to go, Baruch Hashem. It's just getting into it, just the very thing. Simcha is a good thing.
Amen.
Amen.
And, Amen.